The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and your time turners. Let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. And welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake. And I used to hate cats. But I apparently have become a cat person.
Oh, you are like not just a cat person, but you're like, you know, I'm not in the mood to get a dog right now. And I'm cool just having a cat right now.
I would love to have a dog. If I could have a dog but not do any of the work for it, then I'm in. Let's go. I don't feel like cleaning poop.
That's called a cat.
Yeah, but a cat doesn't, it doesn't like respond.
Our cat does. Lumos does. Come here, Lumos. Come here. Watch this.
Let's see what happens. Let's see if she shows up. She takes her perch. You know.
She may be all the way upstairs in our room. So yes, totally appreciate that. Well, of course, we are here. We are here in chapter 15 at the Quidditch final. And there were so many good bits to pull from this chapter, but I just have to end. I just have to end with a final feeling because it gave me all the sorts of goosies. Wave upon wave of crimson supporters was pouring over the barriers onto the field. Hands were raining down on their backs. Harry had a confused impression of noise and bodies pressing in on him. Then he and the rest of the team were hoisted onto the shoulders of the crowd. Thrust into the light, he saw Hagrid, plastered with crimson rosettes. "You beat him, Harry! You beat him! Wait till I tell Buckbeak!" There was Percy, jumping up and down like a maniac, all dignity forgotten. Professor McGonagall was sobbing even harder than Wood, wiping her eyes with an enormous Gryffindor flag, and there, fighting their way toward Harry, were Ron and Hermione. Words failed them. They simply beamed as Harry was borne toward the stands, where Dumbledore stood waiting with the enormous Quidditch cup. If there had only been a Dementor around, as a sobbing Wood passed Harry the cup, as he lifted into the air, Harry felt he could have produced the world's best Patronus.
You know that Oliver Wood, this is his time. This is it. This is the best thing that's ever happened to him and probably will ever happen to him.
I mean, we all know those high school jocks who, like, you know, they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 80s, whatever.
Al Bundy.
And this is what they say. It's right. Like their Thanksgiving thing. You remember, you know, guys, when I played football in high school, you know, we could watch the Cowboys right now while we have Thanksgiving dinner.
But let me tell you there, little Johnny.
This is totally Oliver Wood. I mean, he goes to be, an accountant? Like a wizard accountant? And he gets together with his guys, and they're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oliver's coming. Listen, just don't bring up Quidditch. Just don't bring it up, man. You're going to hear about Harry Potter. Of course you're going to hear about Harry Potter, because, you know. Because
he is...
I'm Harry freaking Potter!
But can you blame him?
I can't blame him. Hey, Nancy is bringing up the fact that where is Betty the Corgi? Betty the Corgi is right here. Sorry, Betty is our Corgi, our pet Corgi that stands in for one of us if we are missing. And she comes from when we got her mid-podcast during the Keep Calm and Crown On. So very excited about that.
So before we get into the show, we wanted to remind you all that this is listener-supported.
Yes.
You know, like your local PBS where they're like, Downton Abbey was brought to you because it's listener supported by Laura viewers Linney. Like you. Laura Linney would do that. I'm your Laura Linney right now, just letting you know that the Potterverse and...
I'm Laura Linney.
This Is Us Too.
Welcome
and
to
Outlander Cast. Like, they are all honestly listener supported, particularly since COVID happened. We've lost a lot of our regular sponsors. So it truly is. We do it out of the goodness of our hearts and thanks to support by listeners like you. So if we're bringing you Lumos in a time of Knox, please feel free to join at jointhenerdclan.com. There you're going to get a bunch of fun things. You're going to get bonus podcasts. You're going to get Blake's book club where he's tackling Voyager from the Outlander series.
Oh, I just did the print shop today.
Oh, no.
Just did the print shop, dang. Baby.
So if you want to hear Blake's take on the print shop.
Oh, you know what?
Did a farce us.
Oh, you Outlander nerds. Oh, I brought it in this book club
thing. And I am tackling The Duke and I from the Bridgerton series, so you can read along. So if you like to read, what you do, because you're in a book podcast right now, you may want to head on over to jointhenerdclan.com. This is a fun little reminder. Those friends who are in the Nerd Clan, even though you already said it, give us a little hashtag Nerd Clan in the comments live just so people can see and you can let people know why you like it. All right, let's get into the show.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
All right, so we start things off. Hagrid lost the case with Buckbeak. And now Buckbeak's sentenced to death.
Not great, Bob. Man.
Not great, Bob.
Not great. But the good thing is that Ron and Hermione, they make up. They're friends again. They actually... Hermione is just feeling all the emotions like a typical 13-year-old does. So in the midst of like Buckbeak and missing some classes and stuff, she punches Draco Malfoy, which high five.
Oh, yes.
High five. Like, yes. This has been a long time coming. Thank you, Hermione. She almost wants to again, but Ron actually stops her. But yeah, she misses Charms class. She makes a scene in divination. And then Gryffindor and Slytherin battle it out. And I got to tell you what, today I'm wearing my Gryffindor pride. Mm-hmm. I've got my Gryffindor sweater. I've got my snitch earrings. And Blake has not an inch of Slytherin on him. So I won this as well. He didn't even know. And then it was the hardest match Harry had ever played. Gryffindor won. And there was a little bit of a glimpse of a Grim.
Yeah.
Prior to that.
Well, there's a couple of things that I really want to dive into here. You know,
do you want to start at the very beginning?
It's always a great place to start.
It's a very good place to start. Sure, if you actually watch Sound of Music, you would know.
Stats of finesse. Stats of finesse. Oh. Hermione in this chapter goes through...
13-year-old emotions.
A wave of emotions. And... And she gets, I think, somewhat vindicated in this chapter, especially how she handles everything with Ron and with Draco, and also how she kind of she doesn't put Trelawney in her place, but she like gives Trelawney the business because Trelawney is like being a dink to her, and I don't like that.
D-I-N-K for anybody wondering. It's like a Bostonian thing, meaning just like a dweeb.
It's one thing for Snape to be a dink to all, especially to like Neville and Harry or whatever.
Because that's just not Snape. One thing.
No, but that's Snape. You like that's part of his characteristics
faculty at Hogwarts need to go through some serious training, okay? this staff would not fly in 2021, all right? There needs to be a lot of personal development,
yep,
and some rules about how to handle students who may have a different color personality than you.
Yes. What's your color personality?
I'm blue.
You're blue? What am I? Do you remember what I am? Am I like orange or something?
No, there's red.
Am I red?
I think you're red.
I think I'm probably red.
You're red.
I'm probably red. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm green because Slytherin. Oh!
Green is people who love like charts and data.
No, not me.
Red is very fiery and they love challenges and they're money driven.
Definitely me.
Yellow is like the Hufflepuff, like just come sit by the fire and hang out with me. Like most Hufflepuffs so that I know yellow, are though. Stop it. most of my friends are yellow. And then blue is me.
Yes. You're blue, right?
I'm blue.
You're blue. Okay. I'm red. Beautiful. Let's first, before we get in Hermione, let's talk about Malfoy's dad. He just has this power.
Lucius. Why?
Whatever. That's how they say it in the film. I don't know. Lucius.
Okay.
Well, that's how Voldemort says it. So I'm going to go with that.
Because he has a snake lisp.
Hey, don't lisp shame.
I'm not. I'm saying Voldemort says his name wrong. I call it Lucius.
Hey, listen, I'm okay to call it Lucius too, but I'm trying to be fancy. All right, there's Lucius. No problem with that, Lucius. Well, whatever. How
you
is
have
it
to
that
pretend you have like a flowy arm,
Lucius?
Lend me your wand.
How does he have all this power? How is he able to?
Like, really?
It's
all about the money.
That's true. But again, it's one thing to exercise that kind of power over the Board of Governors for Hogwarts, I think. But this is a court of law.
So you went to private schools, right?
Yes, I did.
Were either of your parents on the board?
No.
Did you have any interaction with people who were on the board?
I didn't even know there was a board.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You probably could guess which kid's parents were on the board.
I couldn't.
Which kid had like the nicest car?
Which kid
got away with stuff where you're like, why'd you get away with that? I wouldn't have gotten away with that.
Interesting. I don't know. I'm not sure. Whatever. I mean, again,
I'm just saying, again, I taught at a private school, and I gotta tell you, when like those kids either really well behaved because their parents had ingrained in them like this is like our life.
Yeah.
Or they got away with a lot of stuff.
I mean, it's one thing for him to wield this kind of power over the Board of
Lucius?
Governors. Fine, Lucius,
oh,
whatever.
You can do it, Lucius.
Not Luthus, it's Lucius.
Okay.
It's one thing for him to wield syllable. That kind of emphasis on the wrong syllable. It's one thing for him to wield that kind of power over the school. Are you going to interrupt me anymore?
No. Nope.
No? Okay, good. But this is a court of law. This is deciding the fate of a magical creature.
Yep.
And not just any magical creature, but, you know, Buckbeak. Like, what are we doing?
I mean, they don't really care about Buckbeak, Blake.
Yeah, that's true. By the way,
it's all about the money.
The nickname Beaky. Oh, such a great nickname. Oh,
Beaky. I also think that Lucius Malfoy has some dirt on people.
Yes. Now that is where I could get on board. I could co-sign.
You know he's a Slytherin, and you know that he's like, like last year when he was trying to get rid of some books and stuff.
Yep.
You know that he sold some stuff to people in the ministry.
Absolutely.
Where they were like, do you have one of those like really weird books?
And he was like, oddly enough,
Yes, I do. Do you want to get it out of my possession since you won't be searched? Yeah, I think he has dirt on people.
Yeah, I will co-sign on that one. I think that is the most Slytherin thing I think that he could do is have dirt on any one of the members of this committee and then just use that to undermine them at all cost. That would be a Malfoy move.
/ his sister-in-law is Bellatrix Lestrange. Like,
yep.
You don't know how crazy.
But she's in Azkaban at this moment. So
yeah, but they also don't know, like, is Narcissa gonna crack?
What do you mean? Is she gonna crack?
Yeah.
Why would she crack? What do you
mean? She's related. It's a family. Like the cray-cray that's in Bellatrix.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Like, maybe we don't want to mess with the Malfoys because we saw what Bellatrix was able to do. And even though Narcissa's been kind of okay, you don't know.
Yep, okay. Hermione flung her arms around Ron's neck and broke down completely. Ron, looking quite terrified, patted her very awkwardly on the top of the head. Just, oh, man.
It also goes to show you and remind you how tall Ron was in the books.
Right.
You know, book
he's
Ron
able
is
to,
like yeah, they're yeah. there.
Okay, honey. All right. Let me get through the hair. Hold on one sec. Let's wade through that.
Fun fact, tomorrow is Dress as Your Favorite Book Character Day at our kids' school.
Yes.
And our little lass wants to go as Hermione.
Yes, she does.
Yep. So she'll be Hermione Granger. She'll probably be the only kindergartner, the only 5-year-old. It's just as Hermione.
Definitely. That's a guarantee. You want to know why?
Yep.
Hold on.
Nerd!
That's why.
Love it. I love it.
So let's talk about Hermione here and how she gives Malfoy the business.
Okay.
I love this. Because,
I can tell.
Because...
Because there's so much. Well, there's just so much more that happens to Hermione in this chapter, and I love that this is what.
Well,
you're
no,
like,
no, all right, fine.
No,
right. No.
Get it off your back.
Let's do it the way that you want to do it. I'm happy to do that.
I'm here, man. I'm here. I got my Zevia, zero calorie soda, zero sugar, caffeine free, ginger root beer, naturally flavored. You buy this stuff at Whole Foods. I don't even know, but it's got bubbles and it's yummy. So I'm going to sit back here and have my little drink and you could tell me about Hermione.
Well, Hermione has gone through so much in this book as it relates to her relationship with Ron and Hermione. I'm sorry, with Ron and Harry. And she has been on the outs with both of them. And finally, they have this moment of like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And then Draco shows up and he starts making fun of Hagrid and saying how awful he is. And Hermione does something that is extraordinary. She just straight up and hauls off on Draco. Just, I mean, like, gives him the business.
And she's the only one that can, because if it were Harry or Ron,
right,
they would have gotten in trouble.
And when this happens, you see Ron and Harry and Crabbe and Goyle just stand there like, oh, that happened. And it's at this point, to me, this goes beyond, Gryffindor and Slytherin, and Harry hates Draco, and Draco hates Harry, and Crabbe and Goyle are dinks, and whatever. This is Hermione standing up for Hagrid and taking out her frustrations on Draco and everything that he has done to Harry this entire time.
The muggle-born lady that she is, yeah.
And this, to me, this action right here to me, and when she points her wand at Draco, and like, you point your wand at somebody, dude, you better use it at yes. that point. Like, and I'm not sure if she was really going to use it.
She could have. I feel like it's Hermione unhinged in this chapter.
Hermione unfreaking hinged. Absolutely. It was at this point where I feel like Hermione really finally shows the Gryffindor in her. Up until this point, I would argue that she has been much more of a Ravenclaw than anything else. What would you say to that?
I would disagree, because she constantly puts herself in danger and she does break some of the rules. So in this book.
Yeah, but I feel like it's always been prompted by Ron and Harry.
Yeah, but she still goes.
Yeah, but this is the first time that she has taken something into her own hands and done something that completely
she
independent.
She also is driven for doing the right thing and right. standing up for people who are downtrodden. So she's being the hero. Frequently.
Absolutely. You
know? So, no, I think she's just a different type of hero. She's not the brawn. You know, there's a brainy hero too.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm saying this is the first time that she has, I feel like, done something independent of Ron and Harry, where these two in this narrative now have just been totally sidelined. It's all about Hermione in this instant. And I like the choice that the author makes for Hermione in this point. The real agency, the real, I've had it with you.
Mm-hmm.
She does something that, in my opinion, I think is uncharacteristic of Hermione. What do you say about that?
Yeah, but enough is enough. I mean, we all have our breaking point. So here she is. She's sleep deprived. She's got way too much on her brain. She helped Hagrid, and yet all is lost. And she's sad about losing Buckbeak.
Yep.
We've got all these emotions going on anyway, because she's 13. Enough was enough for this little girl.
Right, right. And then she loses it on... She goes through this whole range of emotions in this chapter, whether it is being sorry or... asking for forgiveness or whatever to Ron, and then she stands up to Draco in I think in a way that is uncharacteristic of her, and then she forgets charms, she goes into divinations, and just
as I give up,
her brain broke.
Did you ever do that in a class where you like stand up and you're like, we're done here?
I don't think I've ever done that.
I only did it in Sunday school.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't think I ever did it in real school. But yeah, I did it in Sunday school. My teacher was just bogus. He was so bogus.
I think I might have done something like that in CCD too. I think I might have.
Were you made the teacher? I made the teacher leave. He got so mad at me.
No, but I did make the teacher at CCD like wicked pissed.
He went into church to go find my parents.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say he went into church to go pray.
Well, we were at, like, I'll just give a little side story. We were at a very, very, very strict Baptist church that had the belief that if people were Catholic, they were going to hell. And that's what that lesson was. I come from a fully Catholic family, except for my parents. And my aunt had just passed away. And he was like, I'm so sorry, but your aunt's in hell. And I was like,
I'm sorry, what?
And he said, I'm sorry, but, you know, Catholic equals hell. And I was like, no, what about Mother Teresa? And he's like, Catholic equals hell. And I said, if you think my aunt and Mother Teresa are in hell, you need to reevaluate where you're going.
Right.
And then I got in trouble.
Well, that's, I mean, well, we're not going to have the religious conversation here.
No, but I just wanted to say that I felt that moment for Hermione. I was like, yes, Hermione, you stick up for yourself. You get kicked out of Sunday school, girl. You do that. You do that, Hermione.
You do you, Hermione. Is Trelawney right in her assessment of Hermione?
Yes.
Really? You think it's fair that she calls Hermione out and says that she has a mundane mind?
You asked me if the assessment was right. You asked me if
you think Hermione is mundane.
In the studies of divination, yes. In the studies of divination, I believe that Hermione is not thriving. I believe that Hermione is stagnant and is not going to grow in the studies of divination.
Yes. Yes, but she publicly calls Hermione out.
No, and I don't think that that's right. You asked me, is her evaluation of her?
Okay,
yes,
fair
I don't
enough.
Think that her actions...
Let me rephrase it. Did she do the right thing, though?
No.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. There's
like if Hermione read The Secret and learned about the law of attraction, I don't think she'd be down with it. She wouldn't be about like vision boards and stuff, you know?
I love this part.
No? You're not feeling it?
I'm out on vision boards.
I know. So that's what I'm saying.
Vision
Hermione.
Boards are the worst thing.
No, they are
hashtag the worst.
They work for me, so don't hate Blake. They work for me and I'm all about it.
I love this. I'm sorry to say that from the moment you have arrived in this class, my dear, it has been apparent that you do not have what the noble art of the divination requires. Indeed, I don't remember ever meeting a student whose mind was so hopelessly mundane. There was a moment's silence. Then, fine, said Hermione, suddenly getting up and cramming, unfogging the future back into her bag. Fine, she repeated, swinging the bag over her shoulder and almost knocking Ron off of his chair. I give up. I'm leaving.
Yep. Well done.
I read this because there is this great beat. There's a great beat here that I would love to get your thoughts on.
Okay.
Trelawney calls Hermione mundane. And then there was a moment's silence. Everything in that room just stops.
Yep.
All of it. What, in your opinion,
okay,
is going on in Hermione's head at that moment?
She just shut down. Like any logic, any rules, any of that, just shut down. And all she saw was red.
Yes.
Like I just punched Draco. I'm unhinged.
Hermione Unhinged.
That's it.
That's our shirt.
Yeah. She probably needed a snack.
You know she's hangry.
I know.
What's she going to choose?
Maybe a Snickers. I mean, she is a muggle.
She's going full Betty White in this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. She's gone Betty White.
Because you don't hear about her packing her bag. She's going to all these different classes. She doesn't have little like protein bars. She's hangry.
You know what? Maybe a good like...
Hard boiled egg. That's all. What?
Hard boiled egg.
It would satiate her for quite some time.
Maybe a Nature's Own.
Yeah.
You know, something along those
maybe
lines.
Not a little trail mix bar.
Yeah, sure.
Just have the elves whip her up something.
Maybe a Luna bar.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'd be fine with that.
But she didn't know.
She didn't know. She didn't realize that, you know. Here's another question. Well, I mean,
you've been hanging on Hermione for a very long time, so.
Well, because what Hermione here goes through this perfect three-beat of, like, her actions, and it's such a great movement in this chapter. And finally, she does something, and she finally gets validated in this chapter after everyone just beaten on her all like for the past number of chapters between Scabbers and Crookshanks. So I want to celebrate this. I'm not criticizing Hermione. I love talking through it.
She's like the phoenix, just rising from the ashes, ready to burn everything in sight.
I will burn you.
That's it, man.
All right. So what did you want to talk about now that I've gotten my Hermione fix out of the way?
Can we just have a moment for Crookshanks?
In what
Crookshanks,
respect?
Who's just being all sorts of shady outside.
Shady AF.
Shady, just walking around outside. Mm-hmm. Harry's getting his glasses, smooshing his face up against the window. Like, just really trying to see what Crookshanks is just chilling out with the Grim, with the shaggy dog.
Right.
Cool. Come follow me, little guy. Here we go. And then, of course, when Harry gets Ron to see, like, Crookshanks and this dog, they're gone.
Right.
So just wanted to give a little moment for Crookshanks being shady, and that's okay.
The fact of the matter that Crookshanks, obviously, I mean, we know.
Crookshanks is a Kneasel.
Yeah, we know what's happening at this moment. But Harry sees this and he wonders, okay, does this mean that I'm going to die? Like, is this like really going to happen?
Because like Crookshanks can see the Grim. So does that mean that it's not really the Grim? That it is just this dog?
It's just a dog.
Because right. It's not an omen if Crookshanks is seeing it. Or can Crookshanks see omens?
Or here's the better question if you're a first-time reader. Is Crookshanks... Because every time that we've seen Crookshanks, the thing goes off.
Blinking on it. Sneakoscope?
The sneakoscope, yes. Okay. Thank you. The sneakoscope freaks out every time Crookshanks is around, right? So, is this like another inroad to be like, Crookshanks, kind of a bad news dude? As a first-time reader, are you thinking that Crookshanks is...
I don't remember questioning Crookshanks at all.
Really?
No.
Because I think that was my first instinct.
Okay.
Like reading through it right now, it was, okay, if I'm reading this as a first-time reader, do I think that Crookshanks is being shady and like helping the Grim?
I read it so quickly that I didn't really analyze. I didn't even have time. I was just like, give me it all. I didn't even have time to fully digest things when I first read it.
Yeah, that's the beauty of this podcast.
I know.
We can nerd out about it now. We can have these thought experiments. Mm-hmm. So...
Dig it.
Dig it. What else do you want to talk about?
Quidditch, man.
Yeah. I love how Quidditch is portrayed in this chapter.
It's down and dirty.
Because it's ugly. It's ugly.
Beaters nothing. Being thrown, beating sticks being thrown.
Yeah. And even McGonagall is getting into the fray.
Oh, yeah.
Just yelling at these kids.
Draco straight up cheating.
Right.
What is that foul called when the football players hold someone's mask so they can't move?
Face mask.
Oh.
What's that wall in Berlin?
Whereas
what's it called?
This foul that Draco does is called blagging.
Blagging?
Blagging.
Oh, interesting. Look at
fun
you.
Fun little Quidditch fact for you.
Even like leading up to the Quidditch match, how everybody's bullying Harry. The way like they're tripping him and he's like,
oh,
you see what I'm saying?
Slytherin. You're saying everybody. Slytherins are bullying him.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay. Slytherins are tripping him and Harry has to have like guards around. Yeah. So that he can go to different classes and whatever. And he's checking, make sure that the firebolt in his case is still in his room and he's worried about it. This to me feels very real. Feels very, very real. Because, I grew up in that kind of culture, the sports culture, the competitive culture, and you do what you do to win. You do what you gotta do. Oh, yeah. There you go.
For any of our Disney Descendants friends out there.
For all you Descendants nerds, you just got that. You do what you gotta do to win. And things get ugly out on the field. I'm so happy that Quidditch is portrayed this way in this chapter. Because the whole book, I think, is leading up to this point of where the school environment starts to take a back seat. And we start getting, especially next chapter, right? Next chapter, the Trelawney's prediction. That's when things really take a turn. But this is leading up to this point. This is like the prelude to that, where it's not just, yay, Quidditch, wee! It's people going to get hurt, and there's cheating, and
Harry gets it in such an amazing way. I mean, he's neck and neck. Luckily, he's in the Firebolt, so he's able to catch up. And then he leaps. He, like, lets go of his broom to go leap and get the snitch. Thank goodness. I mean, think about it. Inches away from Malfoy's hands. Isn't that quite incredible?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have Wood. This is his moment of glory. His crowning moment. This is it, man.
You know what I do love?
What's that?
I need to give a shout out for Ron in this chapter. Ron, who steps it up and says, Hermione, you know, we're sorry that you had to go through this Buckbeak stuff before, but, you know, when we go back to court, I'm going to be helping you along the way. And Ron really delves into these books. Like, he's straight up trying to help fight Buckbeak's case.
Right, absolutely. And this, we talked about Hermione being like a Ravenclaw a lot up until this point. And we have talked about Ron being the Hufflepuff of the group. My sense is that this is the very Hufflepuffian, if you will, of Ron, where he's just like, okay, this is it. We're going to take control
just
of it.
Being a helpful human.
I'm going to be a helpful human.
Helpful human Hufflepuff.
I'm a helpful engine. You know, a real useful engine.
Yes.
You know, for all you
Thomas,
for all you Thomas
engine.
Nerds. He's being a really useful engine right now.
He is.
And
Hagrid has vowed to make sure that Buckbeak's last day is as happy as it can be for that hippogriff.
Right.
Because he's about to RIP.
Would you say that Harry is the Slytherin of the group? Like, not like I feel like all of these kids. Our trio, they're Gryffindors because they're the hero.
Mm-hmm.
But if they weren't the hero of the story, they would be. Ron would be Hufflepuff, Hermione would be Ravenclaw, and Harry would be Slytherin.
They each could have had different paths, Blake.
Oh, the roads we go, or all the roads we take, whatever it is.
I don't even know. But really, such a fun chapter. You know,
the places you'll go. That's what I was thinking. The
okay, Dr. Seuss. Go. Okay, now I'm understanding. I was like, I don't know what you're quoting at this point. Bananas. But no, it was great. It was great to go from the classroom to see everything with Hermione. There was a lot jam-packed into this chapter, a lot of emotions. The Quidditch, as you said, was very fun. We finally get to have the Quidditch Cup inside of Gryffindor's hands.
Yes.
And yeah, we leave off with just Harry on cloud nine, which he has not been in this book. Harry has been quite down in the dumps for a majority of this book.
Right. And he's finally able to have this moment of release the same way that Hermione is able to have her moment of release, whether it was with Trelawney or it is with Draco or Ron. And there's a lot of catharsis here. Here's another question I have for you, Mary, because I think we're going to be wrapping up here in a minute. Hermione forgets to go to class. She forgets charms class.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And she's like, I have to go talk to Flitwick and apologize and yada, yada. Why doesn't she just use the time turner to go back in time and go to the class?
I don't know. I don't know why she doesn't use the time turner to nap.
Right? Like, this is the problem when you start introducing time travel into your story. Time travel is the solution for all of it. Anything you can do. Like, why aren't they using the time turner to, you know, stop certain people's deaths? Or why aren't they using the time turner to do X, Y, and Z things?
When we get to the future of the Potterverse, we will really delve into this.
Exactly. So, I don't know. It's just, it's mainly because the plot needs them to move forward, and it's just very convenient that the time turner just goes away because the plot needs it to.
Yes.
That would be that.
All right.
So, you got anything else that you'd like to say about this chapter, Marvin?
I do not.
All right. Well, you know what it's time for now?
No.
It's time for the different perspective. What do you got, Marvin?
Holy cricket! You're Harry Potter! I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
Minerva McGonagall.
Oh, you're McGonagall again. Hey, what's up? What's up, girl? How you doing today?
Flustered, to say the least.
How come you flustered?
But in a good way, you know? As the kids, the hip kids say now, all the feels.
Oh, yes, okay.
All the feels.
So many feels.
You know, I've been teaching classes left and right. The first years are just driving me bananas. They just can't seem to turn the teacup into the rat into a teacup.
And they didn't applaud you this year too. We're still on that.
Miffed about this year's first year. Honestly, like, what does a woman need to do? Cats? No applause. No applause. So here we are. You know, I've desperately been wanting this Quidditch World Cup. I even bent the rules 3 years ago to let Harry freaking Potter come in.
I got a feeling that you're still bending the rules.
I'm Harry freaking Potter.
Between me and you.
You let him have that fireball, didn't
Snape
you?
Snape and I. That's not breaking the rules.
It's not a little bit.
Why do you think so?
It's a little bit.
It's not. So Snape and I, the kids don't know, but we have this bet. We've got this bet going on about who wins the Quidditch World Cup. And goodness gracious, Slytherin's been in the lead. My team, not only do they have to win, but they have to win by 50 plus points.
Right. And what are you betting?
Of course I'm betting on Gryffindor.
No, but what are you betting? What's the bet?
That you have to shovel Buckbeak's dead carcass.
Because we all know that's coming.
I know.
Hagrid's going to be a mess. He can't do that.
No.
He's going to have to... What are you going to... Do you cut him up a little bit and shovel him out?
No, bippity-boppity-boo, honey. It's no... We don't do any of that stuff, okay? But still, it's just sad. It's just sad. Even though it's like swish and flick, it's still sad. But then, what do you know?
Uh-huh.
Potter does it.
He did it.
I got to tell you, there were so many fouls. I should have been an extra ref. If I could have, if Severus would have let me do it, I would have done it.
You know, Minerva,
I was freaking out.
I heard you might have stepped over a little bit of line. You did a little line stepping.
When?
And you started yelling at kids, calling out fouls.
I'm allowed to do that.
Not at the rate that you
did. As a coach for baseball, if the other team was cheating, would you be yelling out a foul? Would you be saying, excuse me, ump?
I would go to the side. And I'd call the umpire to the side.
Hooch is flying around. I can't go to the side. It's just one hooch. Okay?
Hold on.
It's only one. There's a bajillion kids flying around, balls going all over the place. She needs my eyes. She needs me, and she trusts me.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she does.
So we won.
Wasn't she the one that was looking over the firebolt with Flitwick, and they were like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatevs.
Yeah. End scene.
Oh, okay. Now it is time for listener questions. Thank you, everybody, for participating. We don't have any particular emails for this chapter, though. I know we do. I know we do have plenty of live questions. So
remember, if you're live, you can do a question for us to read on air. All you need to do is start the question with a lightning bolt emoji. And those of you who want to email us questions about the upcoming chapters, you can at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com.
Oh, Miles here.
All right, so let's get to the some questions. Angela says, it sounded like Harry jumped off the broomstick at the end to grab the snitch. Is this what happened? If so, how come Harry didn't go splat?
What was your perspective, Blake, as you read this chapter?
I'm going to have to go back to the...
I think he was close enough to the ground. He let go with both hands and lunged. So he either lunged and took the broom with him and then got it and then was able to get back up. But the way that I envisioned it was he... was close enough to the ground that it wasn't a big splat.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Hold on. I'm going.
It's here. Okay. Right. I'll also read Ellen Hainwright. She says, "Why do you think Emma Thompson makes such a great Trelawney? I just feel they casted that character perfectly. I think because Emma is willing to be wonky. You know, there's some that just can't handle the wonky, and she just embraces it. She's just down to be weird and down to be kooky and, you know, have the glasses with the big eyes. That must have hurt. Like, I know when I wear someone else's glasses, I get a headache. I just think she's willing to really push herself and be silly and just fully jump into the silliness, but yet still have that air of, I respect myself. So I think she did a fabulous job. She is one of my favorite actresses. I think that she is very, very versatile.
Well, it doesn't say that Harry fell.
It says he let go of the broom with both hands.
Yeah, he knocked
and lunged forward.
And he knocked Malfoy's arm out of the way. Yeah. And yes! And that was it. He pulled out of his dive, his hand in the air.
Okay, so he pulled out of his dive. So yeah, so he still is in the air.
Yes.
So he's just like reaching. He's leaning with all of his might.
Yes.
But his legs are still clutching that broom.
Yes, okay, good. Let's see where we got. Ellen says, also not a question, but I reckon after Hermione stormed out of Trelawney's class, she went and joined Dumbledore and Fox for some cake. And Kelly, yes, absolutely, you know.
Bam! Just like that. A winner!
She's strong.
Whenever something's wrong, Cake and Kelly will solve it.
Amen.
Generally. Kylan Crawford says, didn't she promise the time turner would only be used for classes?
Yes, but honestly, that should be part of the fine print. Classes / things related to your classes, your homework, and your naps that you're going to need.
Class adjacent things.
Yeah.
Right.
Help you succeed.
Yeah. You want to put yourself in a position to do the best that you can.
Yes.
Napping is definitely a part of that.
I love to nap.
Did you nap in college? Like, how often did you nap in college?
Frequently.
One of my roommates, love him. God love him. As soon as he hit the couch, done, sleeping.
I mean, I took a lot of classes and I was involved in a lot of activities.
No!
So I would wake up at 5:45 every morning and I would shower and get ready and be the first person to the dining hall.
Such a dork.
And I'd do a lot of my homework then and my extra studying. Then I'd go to my 8 a.m. calculus class and then I'd come back and I'd have 11 Z's. I may do like my office hour as an RA. Do a little homework, do a little class, a little music theory, and then I would generally nap around like 4 or 5 because then I had wind ensemble in the evening or jazz band. So I had to nap around that like 3, 4, 5-ish time, then go get dinner, and then I could go because I was up late. Like that was the problem. It wasn't like I could just be a fully dedicated morning student. I had nighttime commitments too.
Oh my God.
So I needed the nap.
No thanks, man. No thanks.
My poor roommate was probably like, oh, that's why I got a room to myself once I was RA.
All right. Lily asks, what well-known sports rivalry would you compare the Gryffindor and Slytherin Quidditch teams to? You know, Marvin, what I'm going to say.
Yes, I do.
Red Sox and Yankees.
Agreed.
And especially in that 2003-2007 range.
Yes.
That's what I remember when Pedro Martinez took Don Zimmerman, who was this 70-year-old guy, and just tossed him on the mound because Don Zimmerman got mad that Pedro threw at one of his players.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And he just took him and just tossed him.
That's not allowed.
You can't do that anymore.
You can't toss people in
baseball. Not allowed to do that.
No.
And so it went in that 2003 through 2007, man, Yankees, Red Sox, brutal. Brutal stuff. So, yes, that's what I would compare it to. Caitlin asks, do you think McGonagall was wrong to give Hermione the time turner and encourage her to overwhelm herself? Marvin, I will leave this question to you because...
I think she needed to see what Hermione could do. I don't think that she did it in a bad way, and Hermione doesn't keep the time turner going forward for subsequent years.
Uh-huh.
So I think both McGonagall and Hermione learned a lesson. But sometimes you just have to see how far you can go. Push the envelope,
you know, just get it in there a little bit.
Yeah.
See what happens.
There you go.
You got anything else? Let's see. Any other questions yet?
No.
But I think we're good. All right. What do you say we close this bad boy out, shall we? All right, let's do it.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. Of course, we're going to be live next Thursday night, same time, same place. If you are not yet on our complimentary text and reminder service, this is the time to do it. Take out that phone. You can like push down the paid podcast app.
Get it out there, Mom.
I'm trying. Get to your text message. If you're in the U.S., you're going to text the number 81010. Yes, there's only 5 numbers. I promise it's going to be okay. 81010. And in the message field, the @ symbol and Elder Wand. All one word, no spaces, just mm-hmm. at at symbol Elderwand. If you're outside of the U.S., you go to remind.com/join/Elderwand.
And check out maryandblake.com for all of our great podcasts and blogs that we have going on over there, whether it is Outlander Cast or Bridgerton with Mary and Blake or This Is Us 2, which is coming back next week. Very excited about that. And of course, the one that I have to mention is the newly minted MCU Diaries, where I'm tackling WandaVision and all the upcoming MCU shows on Disney Plus. So awesome. Don't miss out on that. You're gonna want to listen to it. The MCU Diaries.
My name's Mary.
My name is Blake.
Mischief Managed.